Still doesn't change who you are, John. Before I start, I'd like you to open to the Bible to one verse today. If we can turn to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know I'm a broken down vessel, and I'm hurting now. But Lord, I know you've given me the strength to come here and to share your word. I pray that you bless this congregation and use me to share a message that will give hope in this holiday season. In Christ's name, amen. So with this message, I wanted to come up with a message that, of what I would have given or shared if I were at the Christmas service this year. So I know it's technically 3 days past Christmas. If you will indulge in me, we'll have one last Christmas message. Is that okay? Okay, so as you all know, Christmas is usually a time of holiday cheer. Our thoughts are usually of baby Jesus in a manger. Sometimes you think of shepherds, wise men. You know, people celebrate this holiday in many ways. You might see online pictures of people wearing ugly sweaters. My wife likes to watch a Christmas movie once a year, like Elf or It's a Wonderful Life. You know, and she'll sit down all bundled up with a mug of hot cocoa. And people always are really receptive to hearing the word of God, and they like hearing Christmas carols and whatnot. However, as someone who works in retail, I can tell you it's not always jingle bells and a reindeer at this holiday season. There are many people who are struggling at this time. It's not often that you see it on the surface. You know, they're dealing with trials in life. Some of you might be even questioning God at this moment. And while it'd be nice to share a message about shepherds, wise men, and baby Jesus in the manger, I just wanted to share a few non-traditional Christmas stories today. So three stories in particular, which is actually the title of my message: Dry Bones, Broken Walls, and a Dark Pit. So imagine you're standing over a valley. It's dark. And as the sun begins to shine its light on the valley, you look down. And you're filled with horror as you realize there's bones scattered all over the valley. And what strikes you even more and fills you with even more dread is somehow you know that these bones are the bones of your family, the bones of your friends, the bones of your loved one, the bones of your people. And as you stare at this horrific scene, you notice that the bones are dried out, which means that these people have been dead for a very long time. How would you feel at this moment? Let me switch your attention to another story. Imagine you're living abroad in a land far away. Life has been very difficult. You're dealing with a different language, a different culture, but somehow you finally managed to fit in. You've carved yourself a life. It's not easy, but it's something you can call your own. However, one day you receive word that your hometown has been destroyed. Your hometown has been left in ruins. There's nothing left. Even worse off, no one seems to care about what happened to your hometown. There's no plans to rebuild it. How would you feel? Last story. Imagine you're standing over a dark pit. You look down. At the very bottom, you see it's very thick and miry. There's like mud or something. You hear a faint moaning. As you look more carefully down in that pit, you see someone stirring in that pit. And you realize you know that person. That person at the bottom of that pit is a righteous man, who is a man that spoke against government corruption. But you know that he was hated by the government leaders for what he stood for and what he said. And he was unjustly thrown into that pit. And those government leaders all approved of what happened to him because they did not like him pointing out their sins. They did not like him pointing out their corruption. You know what was done to him was wrong. But you know it was done with popular approval. How would you feel? Would you dare speak up? Now, the first thing you might be asking yourself is, just how are these Christmas stories? Where is the hope in these stories? And that is my point. These stories all share a theme of hopelessness. You might not initially think that you can relate to any of these stories at all, but just ask yourself these few questions. Have you ever felt at any time in your life that your spiritual life was in decline? Have you ever felt a sense of hopelessness, perhaps with regards to what's happening in your home life, maybe at work, or maybe even in your church? Have you witnessed injustice around you, but you were afraid to speak up? Perhaps these stories can speak to you today. Perhaps these stories can show you something new this Christmas season. The first story of the dry bones comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Just to give you a background on the story, since I'm not going to read the verses, Ezekiel was a prophet who was a contemporary of the prophet Daniel. He was ministering to the people of Judah in the years leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem. So he is preaching repentance, reform, and even at one point for the people to surrender to Babylon. But the people would not listen to him. You know, he was mocked, he was jeered, and his words were not taken heed of. Ezekiel was given a vision of the Lord. I'm sorry, a vision by the Lord. Yeah, and this vision was the valley full of dried out bones. The bones were symbolic of the spiritual state of the people of Judah at that time. The story of the broken walls. This comes from Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2. So this story fast forwards the story of people of Israel many years ahead. This is past the destruction of Jerusalem. This is even past the time of the kingdom of Babylon. This is the time of the kingdom of Medo-Persia. So Nehemiah was a Jewish servant in the kingdom of Medo-Persia. He was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, which is actually a pretty good position considering who he is as a Jewish slave. He had finally established a new life for himself, a life of respect, when he received word about the state of disrepair of his homeland. Third story, the dark pit. This comes from Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah was another prophet who was actually a contemporary of both Daniel and Ezekiel. He prophesied judgment upon Judah because of their idolatry and unfaithfulness. The Jewish princes were very angry with Jeremiah because of his prophecies. They were so angry that they wanted to punish him for what he was saying and to silence his words. They actually received permission from the king to throw Jeremiah into the dungeon. So hence, Jeremiah was thrown into a pit filled with mud. Ebed-Melech was an Ethiopian eunuch in the king's court at this time. He was the one that witnessed this injustice. And he knew in his heart that this was wrong. I'm sure at this moment you guys are still asking me, David, where's the Christmas? Am I depressing you with these stories? Do you want to hear about shepherd, wise men, and baby Jesus in the manger instead right now? You know what? Why not? Let me tell you about shepherds. In John chapter 2, verse 8 through 20, that shares about the story of the shepherds meeting the baby Jesus. However, let me just give you an aside that when you see the nativity scenes all over during the Christmas time, just remember that shepherds and the wise men never met each other. Right? The wise men actually came probably about 2 years after the shepherds. So that always cracks me up when I see them all like lined up together with the baby Jesus. But anyways, you have to remember at this time, being a shepherd wasn't really a great position in society. In fact, it's a rather humble position. You're away from people for long stretches of time. You know, you probably don't even smell good from hanging around sheep all day. And in fact, it can be an often dangerous job, right? Where you have to fend your flock off from predatory animals. Right? And then, even so, these shepherds in the gospel story were given the wondrous news of the birth of the Messiah. The Savior has been born today. Even better yet, they were granted the privilege of seeing the Messiah with their own eyes. These shepherds want to share, but who would listen to them? Remember, shepherding is a dirty job. Now, if you think of something similar in our society, it's necessary but not very desirable. Maybe trash men. You know, would you be willing to hear stories from trash men coming straight after work? This is the dilemma these shepherds were in. Okay, let's talk about the wise men, also known as the Magi in some of your translations. And this comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Now these wise men were respected and from where they came from. Now, but let's pretend that you're a wise man, right? Because you believe in the Bible, or the Old Testament, basically, and you've been studying, you leave the comforts of home because you are led by the Holy Spirit to see the Messiah. You come to a place where people are supposed to be religious. You're excited to see people who believe in the one true God. However, when you get there, you're surprised because their reaction to your coming is not anything what you might have expected. These people do not share your zeal nor your excitement to see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In fact, most people are even indifferent to your quest. And some people, including the king, seem very suspicious and unhappy that you're here. Let's talk about baby Jesus in a manger. Right, Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 18. Let's imagine you're in Joseph's shoes. You've been divinely warned that your son's life is in danger. You have to leave your homeland to protect your son. His birth should be great news for the world, but people in power want to kill him. You leave and save your son. However, in the process, innocent children are murdered. Tens, hundreds, maybe even thousands. The people in power fear change and want to maintain the status quo. Hence, that's why they ordered such a reprehensible thing to be done. Christmas stories? The stories of the shepherd, the wise men, and baby Jesus in the manger actually aren't that much different from stories of dry bones, broken walls, and a dark pit. I think we tend to gloss over them during the Christmas season, but all these stories have elements of darkness in them. Violence, hopelessness, despair, even death. However, I want to remind you that all these stories are about real people who went through situations that you and I can both relate to. But I'm not going to end here, because I want to show you guys that all these stories indeed are Christmas stories. Maybe not like those Christmas Hallmark movies where you watch on television or on Netflix. But I want to let you know that these stories are all of hope and salvation. Let's go back to the dry bones. Where Ezekiel saw hopelessness in the dry bones, God saw potential. God encouraged Ezekiel to keep prophesying even in the face of dry bones. God showed Ezekiel a miracle, and he taught him a valuable lesson. If you remember the story, Ezekiel kept prophesying and those dry bones knit back into flesh. And through God's Holy Spirit, they became alive again. God showed Ezekiel a valuable lesson with this, is that God will not let his people wither away and die, no matter how hopeless things seem. Broken walls. While Nehemiah was discouraged by the state and disrepair of Jerusalem, God put in his heart to do something about it. God encouraged Nehemiah to go forth in faith himself and rebuild those broken walls. The lesson here is God will not let his city lay in ruins. Dark pit. Abed-Melech knew a great injustice had been done to the prophet Jeremiah. Yet God encouraged Abed-Melech to do the right thing. Abed-Melech got Jeremiah out of that pit. The lesson here is God would not leave his people in darkness forever. In fact, God told Jeremiah to tell Abed-Melech that his life would be preserved from the coming destruction. Abed-Melech would not die when Jerusalem would be destroyed. God recognized Abed-Melech's willingness to do justice, even though most people would not acknowledge that. The shepherds. The shepherds may have been uneducated, not even well respected by society. However, they still proclaimed the good news of the birth of the Messiah after seeing with their own eyes. God can still even use the most lowly people to spread the gospel message. The wise men. The wise men were rewarded for their diligent study of the Bible and their faith to move forward. Even though the Jewish people were not looking for Jesus, the wise men kept searching for him and they found him. God is a God of reason and intellect. God will also use the educated and rich people to spread the gospel message. Baby Jesus in the manger. Satan may have tried to use Herod to kill the Messiah. And even though Herod managed to kill many innocent children in the process, he still failed to kill the Messiah. That baby grew up to live a sinless life and became our Savior when he died for us at Calvary. Death and destruction may occur, but God will ultimately win. Jesus can save everyone who is willing to accept him as Lord and Savior. Friends, I don't know where you are in life today. You might be doing well, and God bless you. Or maybe you're struggling. Maybe you have problems that not even your closest friends or family know. Maybe you're fighting demons and you feel like you're losing. I just want to tell you today, it does not matter how much brokenness is there in your life. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen away from God. It doesn't matter how dirty and sin-stained you are right now in life. God can work a Christmas miracle in your life today. If God can resurrect dry bones, if God can fix broken walls, if God can lift people out of a dark pit, if God can use poor, uneducated people to do his work, if God can use rich, wealthy people to do his work, if God is willing to sacrifice his only son to save humanity, God can bring healing in your life. Things might not work out the way you want. You may still suffer trials and temptations. You may never be free from those trials and temptations. You might not even get that Hallmark Christmas movie ending. But I tell you, friends, you will not be alone. You will have Jesus. And you will have salvation if you ask for it. Jesus can give you a peace that will outlast all your trials and tribulations. And friends, as I close, I just ask you one question. Will you accept Christ in your life? And will you move forward in faith and follow him wherever he leads you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that for the small group today. Lord, I ask for blessings for everyone here and everyone that will be willing to hear your message. Whether we are doing well or we're hurting, Lord, only you know and only you can bring healing. Lord, I pray that you just give us life where there is none and give us peace where there is none. Please give us the strength to move forward and to share your gospel message and to let other people know that even if they're hurting, you're always there. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you.